keep forgetting we're not in love anymore. Keep forgetting things will never be the same again.
Hodgepodge LA. Oh, in a kind of a down period. Off of the summer. No summer work. So we sit around the house all day and get bored quickly. But it's nice to have the time off. People say to me all the time, oh, you're lucky, you're a school teacher. Yeah, luck had something to do with it, but fuck, I planned it out. Planned it out so I could have summers off, so I could go home to, you know, visit the friends and family in the summer for 3 weeks, kick it around. Football coaching, got to start back up next week in the end of middle June, starting up, 100-degree weather. Not really looking forward to that, not to mention that football with no pads absolutely means nothing. Nobody looks out for these kids anymore. We just send them out there to practice. It's supposed to be about 100 degrees tomorrow, the next couple days. Nobody cares. There's not even a trainer out there. It's supposed to be the first line of defense if some kid goes down and both have to do mouth to mouth. Great. I don't know why they can't have a trainer out to do all that shit. We have a trainer like once a week. They just show up and just say, nope, kid can't play. Nope, he's hurt. The day-to-day stuff is ridiculous. See, kids get their heads bashed open all the time. For some reason, they think it's safer not to practice without pads than it is with pads. So they said, oh, you can practice all this time, but you can't have pads on. Which is really ridiculous because that's football coaches push it anyways. We end up pretty much going live without pads. Kids get hurt all the time. I digress. Slow week in football. That's why I'm going to probably keep this episode a little bit shorter today. So you get stuck watching Formula One racing. I have respect for car racing, but shit, I don't know how anybody can sit there and watch it for 2 hours on TV, especially the Formula One shit. Oh, any of it really. At least NASCAR is like a big rock concert more than anything. It's a big social event. At the fucking horse races. This Triple Crown stuff, California Chrome lost the Triple Crown, and the Wilfred Brimley-looking owner ended up having a meltdown saying it's not fair, it's not fair, it's not fair to the horse. Horse culture blows my mind anyways. People treat horses like they're freaking children, people. It's not fair to that horse. The guy's freaking tearing up. I don't know, evidently a few of the horses that raced didn't race in the first leg of the Triple Crown and come in late, and the guy says that his horse is at a disadvantage because they were working harder than the other horse. But shit, that race was 2 weeks ago. How much freaking rest time does a horse need? You know, it's not like a wrestling tournament or something where, you know, someone gets two byes and then that wrestles a third guy in the same day and beats him. I mean, shit, the freaking race was 2 weeks ago. You think the horse would have time to rest? Not that I really want to sit here and talk about horse racing. I don't know anything about it, really. I enjoy going to Santa Anita. That's about it. NBA Finals going on right now as we speak. Recording the second half. It's tied game two last I saw. Amazing how much hate LeBron James gets. At all levels. Guy fucking cramped up. If anybody wants to call him out for being a pussy for cramping, they're fucked in the head. They don't know what... First of all, the guy's probably got more muscle in his fucking calves than most of us have in their whole body. And when you cramp up, there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, he was injured. It's amazing how much hate LeBron James gets. That's why racism will never go away. People always need an enemy. People always need somebody to hate on, no matter what. What has LeBron James done? Matter of fact, I think he should be recognized as almost a hero. Been under the national media scrutiny since he was 15 years old. No father. Never seen a dad in the picture. His mother has been known to have sexual relations with his teammates. The guy still held his shit together. And is still arguably one of the greatest players of all time. I think it'd be freaking a nutcase. You think he would have went the way of Steve Francis, who looks like he's about 80 years old. And he's about 35 years old. Just weathered from drugs. I think LeBron's a success story, although I don't think they're going to win it. Watching the NHL finals as well. Kings, unbelievable. Have you ever seen a team play with fire more than that? This LA Kings team? Down 3-0 first round, down 3-2 third round, down. Seems like they're down 2-0 every game. Seems like they spot teams 2 goals every single game. Unreal. And they seem like they're going to win this whole thing now. I'm glad, I guess. You know, I don't want to hate, you know, being a transplant in L.A. I don't want to hate on L.A. teams. I don't mind L.A. teams except the Lakers, whom I hate. But other than that, I don't, you know, I'd like to see them do well. But the Kings fans are bandwagon fans. It's really unbelievable. You don't see any Kings. You see very few people with Kings gear during the regular season out and about. And then once the playoffs come, or once, more specifically, once the Stanley Cup Finals, now you see the flags everywhere. People rocking the Kings flags on the cars like they do for the Lakers when the Lakers are in the playoffs. But not an NHL show nor an NBA show. It's a football show. Had a party last night, though. Well, 2 nights ago, rather. See, once you go on summer vacation, school teacher, old, the days just bleed into each other. Friday night. I don't like throwing parties at my house, but the lady friend decided it would be a good idea to have one. And you always got that friend. I mean, you see it, you know, most people have them, I'm sure. You got that one friend, and they ain't listening, so I'm not afraid. I'll say whatever I want. I'm not afraid. I'm not going to blow anybody's cover, not that I'm going to give a name anyway. But you always got that one buddy who is the guy, as soon as there's no one around, it's like, man, we got to go to Tijuana. We got to go down there and get some 16-year-old freaking girls. And we got to go down there and get hotel rooms and pay for all these whores and all that stuff. And the guy always hits you up. He wants to go to the strip club every freaking minute he gets. One of those cats. But then when you get in public with his wife, oh, Schmoopy. They're so freaking affectionate to the wife. It embarrasses you in front of everyone else. And then inevitably your girlfriend gets you alone. It's like, why can't you be more and more like, I don't know, we'll call him PETA. How about that? Why can't you be like PETA? PETA's so nice to her. PETA treats her like a queen. In the back of your head, you're like, what the fuck? This guy wants to go down and ring and every weekend and go down to Mexico and bang 13, 14. I don't know about 13. I'm a little, but he wants to bang underage girls. Guy spends so much time in the strip club doing all types of things behind his wife's back. You just kind of have to sit there and take it. That's one of those ones, you know, they feel like a grade school kid. Being, but PETA does this. You can't say nothing because he's in trouble and he can't hang out with PETA anymore. And then you say something to the guy. He'd be like, hey, man, come on. You're making us all look fucking bad. You're like, what? I can't be affectionate towards my wife? You fucking. Who are you fooling? You know, fuck. We all have those friends, I guess. I don't know. Enough about parties and freaking hockey. Let's get back into football. Jesus Christ, that's what this show is all about, isn't it? Speaking of LeBron James and his cramping, Jonathan Martin had the fucking balls. Jonathan Martin, who I have supported on this very program. I've supported Jonathan Martin. Fucking has the balls to come out and tell LeBron to drink a Gatorade and get back in there. You're fucking kidding me on Twitter. What kind of asshole is this guy? Guy quits on his fucking team. The gloves are off now, John. Guy quits on his fucking team because they're bullying him. And he has the balls to freaking call out LeBron James on a mass media, because Twitter's fucking mass media, especially someone like Jonathan Martin. And the way things are in this day and age, freaking might as well take a billboard everywhere and put it calling out LeBron James. Calling him out for basically being a pussy. Oh, how fucking dare you? Fuck that guy. Unreal. I wish Incognito finished the job. You don't do that. You don't call out someone else for having cramps, especially after doing what you just did. I mean, maybe, even if you did it, you know, to his buddies, that's one thing. Put it out and put it on Twitter. It's immediately friggin' national news in this day and age. Oh, I hope Jonathan Martin fails miserably in San Fran. You made an enemy, Jonathan. You made an enemy. Not that that matters. USC is finally, Trojans are finally off probation. June 10th, they have taken off their probation. They are back in business. Not that I'm really excited about that. Indifferent to USC. Especially these fans. Look, I got to give it a USC fans are pretty rabid. I don't know if that's the word for them. Nuts, maybe. Instable is another word for it, but they're off probation now. the Sox, Steve Sarkisian walks into a gold mine because you know SC will be back. They let Stanford and Oregon. The window came open for Stanford and Oregon. They jumped in, both teams, no doubt. But USC's got to be back in the national stage in the next year or two, I would assume, if Sarkisian has half a brain. Pete Carroll coming out saying, oh, if he had known this was going to happen, he would have never taken the Seahawks job. And Pete Carroll claims to this day, of course he's going to say that he doesn't know. He didn't know what was going on. Reggie Bush still called bullshit. They know what goes on with these guys. As I've said before, I was a slapdick on a Division I team, and I still knew what kids were driving. They know where their parents live. You're telling me Mr. and Mrs. Bush never had any contact with Pete, or Pete had no idea where the Bush family lived? This is the same Pete Carroll as a 9/11 conspiracy theorist, so I have a hard time believing what Pete says. But you got to hand it to Pete, winning the Super Bowl and all that jazz. 48 years ago today, AFL-NFL, the merger. 48 years ago today, and right now, NFL Network, which I haven't been watching enough of. I'm caught up in my own little bullshit, trying to teach myself how to play keyboard and all types of other stuff you do when you don't have children. AFL-NFL merger. The NFL Network is playing that AFL documentary, which is fantastic, called Full Color Football. Phenomenal. If you haven't seen it, watch it. Record it on the NFL Network this week. All this week, they're playing every episode of it. I think it's like a 6-part thing. Amazing. Just the footage. Footage of the 60s. I love this. Speaking of the 60s, watching the CNN show docuseries in the 60s. What a fucked up decade. Everything changed. We're in the brink of nuclear war. I can't believe everybody doesn't have a fallout shelter. Shit, how close we were to getting blown away in the Cuban Missile Crisis. Russia had all these nuclear warheads 90 miles off the coast pointing right at us. I swear, if I wasn't a grown man, if I was my age right now in 1960, 1961, I would have fucking dug out a... I would have went out in the backyard with a shovel and friggin' dug out a fallout shelter. Now, who am I fooling? I probably would have dug about 3 feet and then friggin' tried to hire someone to do it for me. What's the thing? Back home in Massachusetts, everybody has basements. Never really thought much of it. I don't know, my grandparents had a basement with, you know, a big compartment that could be shut off within the basement that had all these canned foods and shit in there. I didn't even know what that was. I just thought it was the basement. But looking back on it now, I realize it was some kind of fallout shelter. It's a strange time period, that 60s. That first Super Bowl in 1967 played right here in Los Angeles in the Coliseum. Chiefs-Packers. Packers ended up winning 35-10. Show a bunch of highlights of that game. Of course, the Chiefs had Fred Williamson, who ended up playing a bunch of blaxploitation movies. Ended up playing all types of roles. I can't think of it. I think he was in Shaft, but he wasn't Shaft himself, but he was in Shaft. He's in a lot of those movies. He's not going to get you sucker as well. The guy with the freaking big-ass gun in there. That was Fred Williamson. He was like the first shit-talker in the NFL. He's like the Richard Sherman of the 1960s. Call him the Hammer. And at the end of that game, he gets knocked out. He tries to make a tackle on one of the Packers players and gets a knee and gets knocked out cold. And they have footage of just the Packers players just taunting him. Wouldn't that be great? I don't want to say great. Now that we know what you know about head injuries, it's very difficult to say it'd be great. But I think it would be funny or amusing. Super Bowl, see Richard Sherman get knocked out. I think most fans would like that. Of course, Sherman has a lot of supporters, and I don't hate on Richard Sherman. I think he's funny. I think he's a great player. Still like to see guys who run their mouths get theirs. I don't think most of us do. Richard Sherman just got the honor, if you will, having the cover of the Madden 15. 15 array, 2015. It's going to be 2020 before you know it. 2020, Jesus. 2015 Madden ended up beating out Cam Newton. You can see that one coming. He's a big spectacular down here at the Nokia Center, right by the Staples Center. You had to have tickets to go to it. Well, they ended up announcing Richard Sherman. He ended up dancing around, and I would have fucking zero interest in seeing Richard Sherman head bobbing. And it's like seeing Busta Rhymes on stage, but not rapping. The fuck would the point be of going to see that? Especially getting tickets or something like that. But they talk about the curse. They ask them about the curse. Evidently, a bunch of players have been hurt that have been on the Madden cover. I don't know. I don't pay any attention to those types of things. I think those things are just happenstance and bullshit. But Richard Sherman said he didn't believe in curses. He believes in God. So it's a good thing, you know, he doesn't believe in any hocus pocus or mumbo jumbo. He believes in God, so it'd be all right. I haven't played Madden in years. I can't play that stuff. Too many buttons for me. It's like the piano I'm trying to play is too many fucking keys. I can't do it. My fingers are too fat. I can't even fucking text on my phone. I don't even know why I'm gonna have the dexterity to play the piano. Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick ended up signing what seems to be a very misleading contract. They say it's 6 years, $110 million, with $61 million guaranteed. I can't freak, but they print the details of it, and I can't make heads or tails of it. They say this is a San Francisco 49er friendly contract that they can get out of it pretty much at any point in the next 5 years and not have to pay the guy squat. And that's what I get from it. At any point after April, they can let him walk and not have to pay him anything. The $61 million guaranteed is, I don't know, it's really not guaranteed. I don't get the NFL contracts. That's why you got to hand it to baseball players. They freaking get that money guaranteed. Football players, there's just so much verbiage and loopholes and everything. It seems like nobody gets paid that amount of money. But Kaepernick locked up. Good for him, I guess. Solid move. Solid move by the 49ers. You got a guy like that, just an athlete, who could end up getting hurt any moment. Of course, anyone could get hurt at any moment. Nice to lock up guys like that. Although, seems to me that teams lock up mediocre quarterbacks. Not saying Kaepernick's a mediocre quarterback, but seems they pay a lot of money to guys that aren't necessarily franchise difference makers. What was I reading today? Adrian Peterson and Calvin Johnson combined make less in 1 year than Joe Flacco gets. Make any fucking sense? From a salary, from any perspective, from just building a team perspective, does a guy like Joe Flacco add that much more to your franchise than Adrian Peterson and Calvin Johnson combined? It's whacked. And I still think you can get serviceable quarterbacks. Guys who are middle of the road who just look better because of their team. No, there's not a lot of Andrew Lucks out there, but you can get guys every year. That's why I have such a big problem with the Garoppolo pick from the Patriots. You can get guys like that, especially guys of 1AA level. I digress. I don't want to talk about the Patriots quarterback situation. Although I do want to talk a little bit about the Patriots. The OTAs going on right now, or whatever the fuck they're called, practice. Patriots go out there and rock no numbers on their practice jersey. And the reason they give, which makes no sense to me, is that they want all the players to learn each other's names. I don't see how that would work if you can't see a guy's number. How are you going to, with the helmet on, how are you going to be able to tell who's who running around? Of course, the real reason is Billy Belichick's trying to fuck with the media and have them not see anyone's name so they don't know who's who, who's doing what. They can't go back and report, hey, so-and-so made a catch. They're going to be scrambling around. Who is that? I think that's the real reason. You can just not put numbers. Classic Belichick. Always doing that shit, trying to fuck with people, I guess. Speaking of fucking people and Patriots, how about Gronkowski? Got to hand it to the guy. Although he can't stay healthy, he does live a rock and roll lifestyle. He was on Whose Line Is It Anyway? I didn't even know they were even still doing that show. Evidently they do. It's a great show when I did watch it, but it seems like that's been on for 20-something years or close to it. Gronkowski was on Whose Line Is It Anyway the other day. Of course, he's making sexual innuendo about sucking on titties and shit, and that stuff just slides right by. Gronkowski, oh, that's just Gronk being Gronk. Imagine if someone like Manziel did that. You just can't go more than 2 days already without some kind of Manziel headline on ESPN. Headline today, first freaking thing you read. Johnny Manziel drafted by the San Diego Padres in the 28th round. Why would you even do that? It's a publicity stunt. I get it. Maybe you can even have similar to what happened to Russell Wilson. Although Russell Wilson was a legitimate baseball player. Although they say Manziel did want to play baseball at Texas A&M until he blew up and became Johnny Football. But I guess it'd be a good PR thing if you could get Manziel to come out and play a couple minor league games in a year or two in the offseason. You have him come out now and run around, play a little bit of second base for you, play shortstop for you. Little PR move like Russell Wilson did with the Texas Rangers. I guess your team like the Padres, what the hell do you have to lose? 28th round pick. Doesn't matter anyway. Of course, now it seems to be a big pastime of people to post fake pictures of Johnny Manziel on Instagram because he's got a fairly generic look to him. I think everybody knows someone who kind of looks like Johnny Manziel. And from a distance, he looks like any average frat boy from the SEC. I think that's part of his appeal. Looks like an average Joe. But now people are just posting Instagram pictures like, oh, it's Johnny Manziel drinking on a freaking inflatable swan or whatever that was. No way it was Manziel. If it was, good for him. But they just put, he's not safe. They put all that type of stuff on all his social media. Manziel, the media darling. I just can't see this ending beautifully for Manziel. That just seems so much. It's like LeBron James times two now. He hasn't even played a fucking game. And I don't think he's quite as talented as LeBron, because I don't know if anybody's as talented as LeBron, but he's pretty fucking talented. We'll see. I just can't see it ending smoothly. Him riding off in the sunset and winning Super Bowls. Oh, if he did, you'll never hear the end of it from ESPN. I hope something happens to ESPN and knock them off their horse, but never will. Still watch the damn fucking thing. Marcell Dareus keeps fucking up. Buffalo Bills defensive lineman who got busted a couple months ago for having synthetic marijuana. I see how synthetic marijuana is even illegal. It's not even real fucking marijuana. It's synthetic marijuana. It's like potpourri. That's what they sell it as. I don't know if this shit works. But he got busted for it. He got arrested for it. Now last week he ended up getting busted for drag racing against teammate Jerry Hughes in Hamburg, New York, out in the middle of New York. Can you blame a guy like Marcell Dareus and Jerry Hughes out in the middle of fucking Buffalo area? Nothing to do out there. You got a white Jaguar. Jerry Hughes got a brand new Camaro. Let's drag race him. Fuck it. It's what we do. It's what people do out in the suburban sticks. You dumb enough to fucking flip it or running off the road, whatever he ended up doing. He's all right, but the Bills ended up sending him home. And of course, Doug Marrone, coach of the Bills. Everyone loves all these guys in power, these coaches and even principals and teachers. And I'm a teacher as well, so I see this shit. They always talk about choices, young men making wrong choices. I love to use those buzzwords. Oh, he's just a 24-year-old man making a wrong choice. Oh, fuck that. No, a wrong choice is, you know, going with a McChicken over a Big Mac. That's a bad choice. Fucking drag racing. He's just looking for fun. The guy just wired differently. It's a bad choice. I guess it's a bad choice, but if he didn't freaking flip his car, it would have been fun as hell. His drag racing's fun. Not that I'm condoning that out to public, but shit, if I was rocking a Jaguar and my buddy had a Camaro, I'm fucking 37 years old. If we were out in the middle of freaking upstate New York, goddamn right we'd be drag racing the fucking things. Why not? You got time off. Just wouldn't flip it. I remember I used to use my mother's station wagon, my mother's old celebrity station wagon with the wooden panel on the side. We used to drive that. We used to fucking drag race that shit. Oh, that was stupid. Of course, I'm 17 years old. Doesn't matter. I didn't have money. It was still fun. Just don't flip it. Gotta know when to say when. Marcell. Tell you, that Bills team's, I still think they're going to be good. I know I've had discussion with people, oh, Bills always stink. Nothing lasts forever. I think the Bills are going to turn a corner, especially if EJ Manuel can be all right, which I think he can. I think Marone's going to bring this more, this up-tempo offense, a no-huddle offense, which is very difficult to defend. And you're just seeing teams scratch the surface of it, teams like Philly. Hard to defend. Why would you let a defense? The real question is, why would you even let a defense huddle? You know what I mean? Why would you let them get set? Okay, why don't you bring the helter-skelter fast break style to them? It's like playing a if you were a basketball team, to make the analogy, and you could get a rebound and fast break it and be able to score at will without letting the defense set up. Why would you ever let them go back and set up? Same philosophy. I don't know why it's taking these guys so long to do it. He's taking like Cincinnati with Icky Woods, whom we had on the program recently. Check it out on the archives. But they weren't even doing it that fast, and they were fucking with people. Buffalo Bills, same thing. They went from nobodies to bringing four-time AFC champions. Cincinnati went from shit to playing in the Super Bowl and should have won that Super Bowl. And then right after those Buffalo teams, in the mid-late 90s, up until shit, even last year, nobody was really going no huddle as the bulk of their offense. Funny how just, I don't know. Because it's that whole cycle of just recycling the same people once they're in the industry. I actually had a little bit of contact the other day with a buddy of mine who's a coach with the Giants. I said to him, hey, look, I'm looking, you know, not for nothing. Trying to look at career options. I don't know if I can watch 15-year-old girls play street hockey every fucking day. So I'm trying to get into the potentially look into pro scouting or college scouting. I was like, how do I get into this type of stuff? Oh, well, you got to take an internship. Fuck that. After you reach a certain age, there's no way you get responsibilities and debts. There's no way you can just drop what you're doing and take a fucking internship. Even though I've been coaching and playing football for, oh, fuck, well over 20 years now. And probably forgotten more football than most of these interns will ever know. Well, that's kind of a braggadocious statement. I don't know if that's necessarily true. But you get my point that I know a lot, as much as, if not more than any of these fucking clowns. But you got to get an internship when you're like 21, 22. The lesson to all you college students out there, or younger people out there, get an internship early, man. Fuck it. Don't get paid. Just get in the company you want to get into. It's the same thing with the NFL. You get into that shit early enough, don't get paid for a few years. Now, it's not that easy. You got to have some luck. But that's the only way to go about it. Because once you hit a certain age and once responsibilities and debt stop piling up, fuck it, you're screwed. You end up staying in your own little sheltered world because you get that income. Especially with health benefits, too. Not to take this to a political side turn, but that's why I'm for a single-payer system and nationalized healthcare, because it freaking wastes human capital, because people are afraid to do anything to take risks because they don't want to lose their healthcare. I try paying healthcare out of pocket. Fuck, that's why a lot of people stay in their freaking miserable dead-end jobs, especially once they have a bunch of kids. They don't want to lose their healthcare. They don't want to take chances. They don't want to try something else. Just like I said, try getting healthcare on your own. What am I even talking about fucking healthcare? This is freaking a football show. Why am I even getting into that? Oh, the NFL and their healthcare. NFL with their manifesto. Sorry, lost it for a second. Have a manifesto on what it takes to get teams to come, takes the NFL to put the Super Bowl in your very city. Minnesota just ended up leaking. I don't know if leaking is the right word. Ended up sending out the document that the NFL mandates these cities have before they're allowed to have a Super Bowl. Minnesota just picked up Super Bowl 52, which is, you know, kind of a joke. I don't know who really wants to go up to Minneapolis and party unless they have Prince. Prince better be playing that fucking show, by the way. Some of the things that the NFL mandates they have before they even can consider coming to your city for the NFL Super Bowl. Police escorts for team owners while in town. They want 35,000 parking spaces. They want suites, free suites in high-end hotels. They want billboards advertising the NFL Network. They want access to 3 quality golf courses and 2 quality bowling alleys. It's kind of an oxymoron, quality bowling alley. I shouldn't say that. I enjoy bowling as much as the next guy. But they want free access to both of those. And they want them during the summer and fall before the Super Bowl because it's too cold in Minneapolis and cold weather cities. They want it all, pretty much all year. They want to be able to send their flunkies to go play free golf and bowl free in Minnesota. Here's one that friggin' really rubs me raw. They want all the ATMs that do not take NFL cards. I don't even know what it is. An NFL fucking credit card, NFL debit card. They want all the ATMs. Yeah, it must be a debit card then. They want all the ATMs that are not NFL sponsored ATM machines out of the building. It got to be some law against that. There's got to be some kind of antitrust collusion law against something like that. They just can't come in and say that. Of course, they want full tax exemptions from any money they spend or make while in that city. Of course, it really makes sense. Why couldn't they get full tax exemptions? And they want their own personal cell phone towers so they can drag them around in case they don't get proper reception. Oh, Lord. Why would you even want the Super Bowl? To me, it would seem like it'd be more of a pain in the ass than anything else. It's like you're finally seeing these cities pull out of the Olympic, bid in for the Olympics. It just seems like it'd be too much. I would think with the numbers what are they really making off this? I guess the local pub owners and local restaurant owners and local hotel owners would make money. But it just seems to me like it'd be a pain in the ass and not worth it. But it's not going anywhere other than Minnesota. And, of course, the NFL just released this week their new logo for Super Bowl 50, which is this year. They had 73 fucking versions of the logo for the Super Bowl 50. 73! So this is probably like 25 fucking people working on these logos for the Super Bowl, which they usually go with the Roman numerals, as we all know. The 50 evidently is just an L. That wasn't cool enough, and instead of going with the L, this one of the 73 versions was the number 50. Yeah, they just got a number 50, like any fucking jackass can draw a 5 and an O is the new symbol for Super Bowl 50. It took 73 versions to get that correct. And they're tax exempt from doing business within the Super Bowl city that they're playing in. Oh, good gravy. The rich get richer. Speaking of which, segue. And now I got a couple more things and I'm going to get out of here and go watch the rest of the NBA finals. I always say that and end up freaking rambling until the last minute anyway, so just be wary. Monica Seles, age 40, famous tennis player, made even more famous when she was stabbed by some German psychopath fan of Steffi Graf. And that shit back in 1992, it felt like yesterday. It was 22 years ago. My God. Monica Seles, age 40, is engaged and about to be married to Thomas Golisano, age 72, from Buffalo, New York. Why do I mention that other than the fact that it's fucking creepy? A guy is 32 years older than her. You think Monica Seles could end up, he's 40 years old, still good shape. You think she could end up, be a little bit more. I shouldn't say selected. The guy's a billionaire that she's about to get married to. Why I bring that up? Why does it matter? Why is it relevant to Hot Yards LA? Thomas Golisano is the leading candidate, or one of the leading candidates, rather, to buy the Buffalo Bills. And he's 72 years old. How much longer is that guy going to be kicking it? Anybody who's got that type of vitality to give it to a 40-year-old ex-tennis player, she's bringing... Well, I'd like to think anyway, she has an insatiable sexual appetite, you know, not just based on my watching women's tennis and the sounds they make and, you know what I'm saying. I don't think Monica Seles is sitting around watching marathons of Breaking Bad or Walking Dead, whatever the fuck it is, all weekend eating bonbons a la Peg Bundy, if you know what I'm saying. I'm sure she's a little bit more, has certain more zest for life, if you will. Anyways, what I'm fucking getting out of the point is Monica Seles is probably going to end up owning the Buffalo Bills. What a shit show that would be. I would hope the Buffalo fans boycott it, a la the boycott of John Bon Jovi. I'm both surprised and a little bit disappointed in Mr. Bon Jovi for outright claiming if he buys the Buffalo Bills, at least he's not lying about it, he's going to move them to Toronto. Which I think is I really don't give a fuck about Buffalo, to be honest with you. Although I do like, I shouldn't say that. As an AFL fan, if you will, an AFC fan, I do like the old AFL franchises. I do appreciate the fact that a city like Buffalo can still have an NFL franchise. I want to move them to Canada. Well, Toronto is the fourth biggest city in North America behind New York, Mexico City, New York, L.A. Who doesn't have a team? Wait, fuck, strike that. I didn't even think about that. The fuck are you going to move them to Toronto before moving them in L.A.? How dare you, John Bon Jovi? Consider this program signed up for the boycott of John Bon Jovi. I'm never going to go see John Bon Jovi in concert again. Not that I've ever seen him. But I would if somebody gave me tickets. But not anymore. He moves him to Toronto. I don't think that's going to happen anyway. Someone's going to buy him and keep him in Buffalo as well as they should. Speaking of bad teams, Cleveland. Cleveland Browns, although soon to be everybody's darling because of the ESPN machine. 20% in the city of Cleveland, 20% of what's called a sin tax. I didn't even know it existed. Which is a tax on, well, obviously I know a tax on alcohol and cigarettes. 20% of all sin tax goes to maintenance of stadiums within the city confines. That means the Browns, where the Browns play, where the Cavaliers play, where the Indians play. 20% of all that goes to maintenance of that. It's amazing how they just ride the coattails of, you know, people who smoke a lot of cigarettes and drink a lot of booze aren't generally your people that have the most disposable income that are just falling out of their pockets all the time. You're going to rake those guys over the coals. Rape might be a strong word. Rake those guys over the coals to be able to pay for your stadiums. And now one of the congressmen in Cleveland is trying to, which I actually kind of like, saying if you don't win X amount of games, you don't get that money. That's not a bad idea. I don't know if that's going to go through, but I was shocked to even see that's what they do. They take money from cigarette taxes. I think those people get fucked more than anything. Cigarette smokers have enough problems, and they end up getting taxed through the friggin' up the wazoo for smoking cigarettes, even though it's a conveniently forgotten fact that the United States economy was based on tobacco for hundreds of years. The United States only became the United States because of tobacco. Now these poor smoking bastards get pariahed. They may look like third-class citizens because they smoke tobacco. Now, I digress. I thought that was a good one. Radio City Music Hall will not be available this year to host the NFL draft in 2015. So, what does the NFL do? They end up putting up a bidding war. And evidently, the other candidates other than New York City that are being seriously considered are Chicago and Los Angeles. No way they're going to come to L.A. If they do, I'm going to go down there and broadcast live and freaking stand out there with one sign picking in why they don't have a team. Although I know there's a crew of Rams fans that go to all types of events. Just join in with them. I need to get one of them on this program. Note to self, I'll write that down right now. But the Radio City Music Hall is not available. What the fuck is Radio City Music Hall doing? It's like this year they said it wasn't available during the time slot because they had some kind of religious Easter ceremony. They ended up getting canceled. How the fuck the people at Radio City don't want the NFL draft and they should just leave. Go somewhere else. Take it to Chicago or L.A. I just had a long discussion with my girlfriend. What she thought the three biggest cities were, three most well-known cities in the United States. I said, it's easy. New York, L.A., Chicago. She said no. She thought it was New York, L.A., San Francisco. So I started asking people. Same thing. They started, most people say New York, L.A., San Francisco. I don't buy that for a fucking second. I think it's New York, L.A., Chicago. Yeah, I digress. It's better than Indianapolis. Segway, speaking of Indianapolis, Jimmy Irsay, with all his OxyContin and all his money floating around in his Mercedes-Benz, getting busted for driving DUI and refusing to take a blood test, which I don't blame him. Has his license suspended for 1 year. Oh, that's terrible. Poor Jimmy Irsay, the guy who has $33,000, the guy who's $33,000 to Jim Irsay is like $3 and like 50 cents. I was reading the thing. To your average Joe who makes $50,000 a year. If you make $50,000 a year, you got $3 and change in your pocket. That's like Jim Irsay rolling around with 33 grand. Shit, I'd go drive Jim Irsay for 50 grand in Indianapolis money. I'd feel like a rich man. He'd pay you that in one night and means nothing to him. It's like $3. Suspended license for a year. Why are you fucking driving? If you know you whacked out on OxyContin, if you have anything, you take too many fucking bare aspirin. Why would you be driving around on your own? You can pay that type of money to have someone drive you around. Speaking of OxyContin, ex-NFL lineman Gennaro DiNapoli played for the Raiders, the Titans, the Cowboys. Just got busted for seven-year veteran. Busted for selling OxyContin out of his Connecticut home. He had like 50 grand of OxyContin he was selling out of his house, which is an amazing problem in the Northeast. It really is. I've lost a couple dear friends from OxyContin use, which inevitably turns into heroin use because it's so much cheaper than OxyContin. Then getting OxyContin for like $80 a pill, we can get bags of heroin for like $20. And it's weird when I go home, I was just home couple weeks ago for a wedding. You see people, and I'm from small town suburban Boston, USA, 20,000, 22,000 people in town, and you're starting to see, you've seen it for a few years, guys my age, mid-30s, you see them just kind of walking around aimlessly like fucking zombies on the street. I mean, it's a small town. You never saw this type of stuff, and you can almost smell it a mile away. It's the way they're just shuffling their feet with their hoods up. Older guys, which look withdrawn. It's like I live in Pomona now out here in California. It seems like any white person you run into in Pomona is some kind of meth head. At least the meth heads have a little bit of friggin' vibrance to them. At least the meth heads have a little bit of personality. Friggin' OxyContin guy just gonna mope around. At least the meth heads, organize their shoe closet or whatever they fucking do quickly. What else they got? A couple more things. Benny Logan, defensive lineman for the Jets, a defensive line coach, ended up 309 pounds, said he was too small to play nose tackle. He had to put on another 10 pounds. He requested he go up to 319 pounds. What a league. Fucking guy is clinically obese by all measures, and they're forcing him to put on another 10 pounds. Can't wait for another 5-6 years when that's another lawsuit against the NFL. The coaches are forcing us to put on weight. Guy was 310 pounds. Told him to put on another 10 pounds. She obliged. Phillip Rivers and his eternal quirkiness. Caught on camera playing in a pickup softball game with a fake mullet on, trying to disguise his appearance so he could go in and be a Reina for one of these jack-off adult softball league teams. I'm sure Phillip Rivers has enough softball talent that he should have rocked a fake mustache as well. Mack Brown, former Texas coach Mack Brown, will be in the ESPN studio this year. Just announced he will be in the ESPN studio this year. He'll be taking over for someone. Hopefully he takes over for both Lou Holtz and Mark May. Enough with these guys. Who likes Mark May and Lou Holtz? Get him off the freaking camera. Let's put Mack Brown on there. Give someone else a shot. Put Gruden on there for all I care, as opposed to Mark May and Lou Holtz. How about Mack Brown, though, making $500,000 a year as an advisor to Texas? These guys just can't get enough. They're just on a different wavelength of someone that I'm on. I would find Mack Brown. I'd go fucking kick it somewhere for a year anyway. You know what I mean? Go do something else for a year instead of jumping right back into the fire, especially if you're making $500,000 a year, pretty much doing nothing. Why is he going to end up essentially probably be moving to Connecticut? That's where they film all the shows in Bristol. I think you'd have to pay me more than $500,000 a year to move to Connecticut. That's not even on top of the salary he's getting from ESPN. So he's making plenty. This shows you how much of a slow time period is in the NFL season. On the bottom lines they run today on both ESPN and the NFL Network. Matt Forte from the Chicago Bears says, there's no ceiling on our offense, and there's no reason why we can't be the best offense in football. That's fucking national news. That's bottom line material. I'm sure if you asked every fucking player in the NFL, every featured running back in the NFL, they're going to say that their team, there's no limit to their team, and that this is the year that they're going to end up being the top offense in football. That's the type of shit we watch. And I'm more guilty of it than anyone. I watch it all the time. And that's the freaking bottom line worthy? Both NFL and ESPN are putting that up. Oh, I think we're going to be the best offense in football. Woo! Breaking news. Player thinks his team's going to be good this year. CFL. Speaking of being good this year, that wasn't a very good segue. I pulled that one out of my ass. CFL avoids a strike because I guess they were striking. They didn't even realize that. Or you're about to go on strike. It just shows you how much us Americans really don't like football as much as we just like rooting for a team and playing fantasy football and going out to the bar and eating buffalo wings on Monday nights to watch football. Because nobody can name anybody on the fucking CFL teams. And it's football going on in the middle of the summer. Nobody fucking watches it. Nobody cares. You know, it's really, spectators don't really like watching football. And there's a football game going on. If you're out at the park and there's a football game going on and a fight breaks down out on the other side of the park, everybody will stop watching the football game and go watch the fight. That's why UFC and boxing is way more primal and tap into people's likes, for lack of a better word, than football does. I really don't believe, and I've said this before on this program, I really don't believe people really like watching football as much as they like all the shit that goes around with it. They've built it up. Got to hand it to Iguodala and the rest of those clowns, because the CFL is, nobody watches it. It's like the XFL. When the XFL came out, nobody watched that either. So I don't know. I don't even know where I'm going with that. I only got a few minutes left. Let's go through those Bleacher Report shit and all those other sponsored websites and stuff. And I'm a sucker for them. I'm a sucker for these fucking lists. You know, websites like, Mental Floss or Cracked and all that shit. I'm just a sucker for lists. And one that caught my eye, top 10 dirtiest players of all time. 10, Conrad Dobler, former offensive lineman for the Cardinals, back when the Cardinals were in, not Chicago, but they were in St. Louis and something else. He used to punch players in the midsection, standard. He used to bite and spit on players in the piles. Pre-ESPN days, if that happened nowadays, he'd be gone in a half a fucking second. Albert Hainsworth, Patriot way, stomping on Andre Giroux's head, ended up gashing him for like 40 stitches or something like that. That was number 9 on this list. Courtland Finnegan. I love watching Courtland Finnegan play. I'd have him on my team any day of the week. 7, Hines Ward. He's the cheap shot people all the time. Another great player. 6, Ndamukong Suh. The guy just seems like he's never really lived up to the hype. He's solid, no doubt about that, but seems like he's in more trouble than he's actually worth. Of course, what do you get from a guy whose first name means House of Spears? Literal translation, House of Spears. He's doomed from the beginning. 5, Jack Tatum. Former Raider who paralyzed Daryl Stanley. Although I think that was kind of a freak thing. I've watched that video a few times. That's just a freak thing and a break in his neck. To be honest with you, I'm surprised that shit doesn't happen every week in the NFL and college football. 4, James Harrison. Still trying to make it on the team. He put Kevlar, that army freaking metal they use on like vest and shit, bulletproof vest. He put that shit in his helmet. Went out and tried to smack people around. 4, 30th player. 3, it's a surprising one. Brandon Merriweather. Don't mean the history of the NFL. There were not guys that were dirtier than Brandon Merriweather, former Patriot, Patriot way. I don't know. I guess he goes after guys' heads and knees and stuff. I don't know. 2, Richie Incognito, making the list for the dirtiest player. I hope Richie comes back in the NFL. Fuck it, I said it. Things are more interesting with Richie, especially in light of this Jonathan Martin bullshit. Jonathan Martin freaking can't take it, but he can give it. How dare he throw it out at LeBron James? He is now on the shit list. I am 100% for Richie Incognito at this point. And number 1, the legend from Connecticut, Billy Romanowski, 4-time Super Bowl champion, 243 straight starts, dirtiest player in the game. Remember he spit on J.J. Stokes' face? Oh, man. Seems like that's another one of those things. Even just a few years ago, it seems like he can get away with it. Seems like if he spit in someone's face now, it'd be an outrage and he ended up being suspended for the year. I guarantee you, if someone spit in someone's face and they catch it on camera like that, they would suspend them for the year. Speaking of suspensions, you got Michael Sam. I guess he got in a little bit of a tussle in OTAs this week. Some of his teammates. Guarantee you, as soon as one of these teammates throws an F-bomb at him, and I don't mean fuck, I mean fag, as soon as they call him a fag, that player will be suspended. And that type of shit gets said all the time. Look at a guy like Jonah Hill the other day. This big media frenzy because he called some paparazzo a fag. He said, suck my dick, fag. He's like, oh, he's homophobe. Fag's just a good word, all right? Fag means somebody who's not tough, all right? Fag really means bundle of sticks. I don't know why it's been turned into this horrible, horrible thing that you can't say. Oh, you're a homophobe if you say fag. It's just a fun word to say. Don't take fag from us, please. But someone's going to say it. They're going to pop off to Michael, Sam, and they're going to end up being suspended. You mock my words. All right, enough is enough. I've rambled on enough. I thought I was going to be out of here earlier, but, you know, once you get going, it's like therapy. Thanks for listening. It's like some kind of football therapy. Just kind of ramble out in the freaking nethersphere and gets put out in a bunch of zeros and ones. And for posterity's sake, it's out there. Thank you for listening. Follow us on Hodjods LA on Twitter. Go to SkidRowStudios.com. You can download every episode and video too, but I got a face built for radio, so you might want to go to the audio version only. And you can also download us at Hodjods LA on iTunes. Doesn't cost a damn thing. And the knowledge that gets dropped on you is the best deal going. That's it. I'm the coach. I will be here next week, I believe, unless something happens. I'm out. Later.